Morning. How are you this morning? Isn't it a beautiful Lord's Day? Amen. Didn't we have a great homecoming last week? Oh, wow. It was great. Our afternoon service, Brother Ross had the idea to have our afternoon service in the fellowship hall. And it was the first time we had had the worship service there since we moved the building over here. And so it was very touching, very, very emotional. To me, the singing was absolutely beautiful. There's something about, took all the padding out of that room and stuff, and it just was really great. So tonight's service, 6 o'clock service, is in the fellowship hall, and because that's congregational sing. So we're gonna meet over there tonight and look forward to that. So encourage everyone to come back and let's just have a really great singing service tonight. Do you like bread? Yeah, most of you shaking your head. That's what I hear a lot of people talk about when they need to lose weight or whatever. You know, bread's my weakness. I just can't hardly not have bread and stuff like that. So my grandfather was born in 1885. Y'all have heard me talk to my pa. And he had to have bread at every meal. Okay, and even if it was what we call loaf bread. I don't know how many, you know, loaf bread. And when they lived in California, they lived outside of San Francisco, on Alameda Island, Oakland, that area and stuff. And they had a large Asian population out there. And so they would sometimes go eat Chinese food or Asian food and stuff like that. And my grandmother, because Asian food typically don't serve bread with your meal, my grandmother would have to put pieces of bread in her purse. And so my grandpa could push his rice up on his fork. We'll take loaf bread and stuff because they didn't serve bread. So, but do you like bread? In fact, my dear wife got up early this morning and baked bread. It's still a little bit warm. Smells good. You know, the house smelled like a baker this morning. You know, and for some of us, you know, our favorite bread is a good pint of cornbread. You know, but you know that when it's really hot out of the oven, you know, and it's really warm, you know, and you might put some butter on it. You know, how many of you had cornbread and molasses? Cornbread and honey. I mean, cornbread is a perfect meal because it just those little cells and just soaks up stuff, and man, it is right good eating and stuff. Most of us have bread in some form, you know. Unfortunately, now I'm sort of resorted to these little funny little flatbread type things I have because I have low carbs and stuff. But we've been talking about the Sermon on the Mount. And Jesus makes a request of God in this model prayer. Give us this day our daily bread. Simple request. Give us this day our daily bread. Now, I don't know what your daily bread is. I don't know what the portion is. I don't know if it's hot biscuits. I don't know if it's loaf bread. I don't know if it's cornbread. I don't know what it is. maybe it's a Sister Shebert Rose. Some people, they can just eat a whole pan of those. But give us this day our daily bread. Jesus is concerned with daily bread. And we may ask, why daily bread? You know, and we sort of talked about this a little bit this morning in our Bible study class. The people of that time lived a bit different than we live. You know, we have full pantries. We have full refrigerators. You know, I mean, we can open the pantry up and stuff falls in the refrigerator. We open the refrigerator up and barely light comes out of it because it's so crammed full. And we can slam the door shut and say, there's nothing to eat in this house. I'm starving to death. What they ate daily is probably what they found daily or what they could put together daily. So they lived a bit different than we did. But Jesus is specifically saying, God, give me my daily portion. And why not just ask for it all? Why not, you know, say, God, just give me a full pantry or God, you know, fill my basket up with bread. God, just give me all that I need. Why just a daily portion? Solomon was the wisest man that we know of, basically. And in Proverbs, he says this, remove falsehood and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches. Feed me with the food allotted to me. You see, there's a great problem sometimes with being blessed with too much, is because that becomes our focus. That becomes our focus. Many of us grew up in communities, you remember, you didn't lock your door. Went to bed at night, you might have pulled the door too. It was hot, you didn't pull the door too. You didn't lock your door. Neighbors didn't lock the door. Why didn't you lock your doors? Didn't have nothing worth to steal. You might have had a few quilts and a few change of clothes and a cast iron skillet or two, but that's pretty much what the neighbor had. The only thing you put a lock on was your smokehouse. You didn't want anyone taking off with your hams and your mitt sides and stuff. But there's a real problem sometimes when material things begin to take over. And God's going to bless us, and God's going to sustain us, and God's going to give us what we need. But if we get too much, we begin focused on our stuff. Jesus talked about a man who got too much. God blessed him. God really blessed him. In fact, he was surveying his fields and realized, when this harvest comes in, I won't have place to put it. I don't know what I'm going to do. I mean, this is the record harvest. And he worried about it. And then he came to the conclusion, I know what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and I'll build bigger barns. That's what I'll do. I'll have a place to put more of my stuff. And what does God say to him? He calls him a fool. Because you're going to die tonight. You see, there's a real problem with that. And so Jesus says dispositionally, we need to be mindful of asking God what we need for our daily needs. And maybe the idea behind that is that I don't get too far away from asking God what I need each day. That prayer is not just something I do out of desperation, but prayer is something I do out of discipline. And I have this communication with God on a regular basis. Now, this bread really does smell good, by the way. But even if you ate that whole basket of bread today, guess what you're going to need? More bread tomorrow. You see, filling our physical bellies, our physical appetites, does not satiate it. It does not fulfill on a meaningful basis, because we just have to go through it all again, right? How many of you cook at home just feel like, all I ever do is cook and clean up, cook and clean up, cook and clean up, cook and clean up, cook and clean up? You feel that way? Yeah, Linda does, yeah. The best meal you ever had, you were hungry a few hours later, right? Especially if it was Chinese, it was like a few minutes later, I got to eat again. Stuff don't stay with you, does it? You know, I wonder how much you appreciate how much Jesus talked about bread. In fact, the ideal of bread and what bread represents. In fact, remember that Satan, when he tempted Jesus, Jesus had fasted for 40 days, and he was hungry. I mean, really hungry. I mean, most of us, 4 hours is a long fast, right? 40 days. He's hungry. And Satan tempts him and says, you see these pieces of stone out here? Turn them into bread. I know you can. Do it. Do it. Do it. What does Jesus say? Nope. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word proceeds from the mouth of God. Now, Jesus did not say that man does not need bread, did he? He didn't say that. Jesus is saying we don't need bread, we don't need food, we don't need... Jesus didn't say that, but he said, you cannot have just that alone. If all your prayer life is about, is God just blessing you with bread, and that's all you want, or material thing, is that all you want, that's not going to sustain you, that's not going to deliver you, that's not even going to save you. But Jesus says you need to listen to this. Give us this day our daily bread. But there's a whole lot of depth of meaning in this one sentence. In fact, I remember as a kid growing up, remember Roman, I guess they still make Roman meal bread, remember? Remember Roman meal bread? You know, that was not a popular bread in our house. We ate white bread. Okay. And there's nothing like white bread and a fresh tomato. And maybe a little mayo or a Miracle Whip for you folks who do Miracle Whip. Okay. And even a little slice of Velveeta cheese ain't bad on it. And a little salt and pepper, you know. And you bite into it and it begins to ooze down your arm. And that's just too good. I mean, you almost can't let that stuff go. Remember that one of the advertisement for that, I'm making you hungry, right? Remember the advertisement for that Roman bread was called, it was called the Staff of Life. That truly, there's something about bread symbolically that represents life in and of itself. There's something about it, right? There's something about the symbolism. There's something about necessity of it. In fact, I meant to bring a jar, but I forgot to. I had a friend whose dad traveled a lot, and I was in high school, and his dad traveled a lot, and his dad was going to Europe one time, and his dad says, he told me, wherever you travel, always take peanut butter. And I thought, and he says, every culture has bread of some kind, and you can have a peanut butter sandwich, okay? So I didn't think I'd ever be world traveler or whatever, but several years ago when I went to Israel, I took a jar of peanut butter, okay? We were a little roadside place one day trying to get some lunch there, and I took my jar of peanut butter in my backpack. I brought it out, and I was the most popular guy at the table that day. Like, peanut butter! Can I have some? Yeah, yeah. Every culture has bread of some form. People relate to it. It becomes symbolic, and we know about different things. But yet, what Jesus is talking about bread on, I think, more than one level here. We need bread, but we need God more. John chapter 6, if you have your Bibles, you may want to look at a lot of the text here. I'm not going to read the whole chapter because it's a chapter more or less about bread. The whole chapter. Jesus spends a lot of time talking about bread in this chapter. And really, when he begins teaching us this model prayer, Jesus didn't necessarily mean we're going to go around reciting this prayer, although there's nothing wrong with reciting the prayer as it's written. But Jesus is wanting us to go deeper into this, to the concept of daily provisions by God. So Jesus begins talking about the type of daily bread we must have to live. You remember the story? John chapter 6, Jesus is out in the hillsides and countrysides, and this huge multitude is approaching them. And Jesus is asking them, you know, guys, how are we going to feed these people? Where are we going to buy bread that these may eat? I mean, these people are hungry. How are we going to get enough bread to feed these people? No, it was a test. Jesus already knew what he was going to do, but he wanted to hear them say it. And Philip said, you know, 200 days' wages would not be enough to feed these people. 200 denarii would not be enough to feed these people. But Andrew, Peter's brother, he knew Jesus could do a lot with a little. And he found a young boy that had a little. And he said, there's a young boy here that's got 5 barley loaves and 2 small fish. Don't know how far that's going to go with so many. Now, probably think of more like unleavened bread, more like pita and sardines, if you can go there. What can you do with that, Jesus? The needs are great, but what can you really do with that? And Jesus says, well, tell them to sit down. Tell them to have a seat. Sit on the grass. estimation, about 5,000 men, plus women, plus like the young boy. And Jesus took the loaves, and he gave thanks, and he gave the disciples. And says, give the bread, give the fish. Jesus told them to, now when everyone's had their fill, y'all gather up the fragments. Some of you make dressing, don't you? Cornbread dressing? Yeah. Maybe bread pudding. You ever save the leftover bread for that? I don't know what they were thinking, but Jesus says, don't waste anything. So everyone had their fill. We're talking about thousands of people. Everybody had their fill. It's amazing. Five loaves, two fishes, feeding thousands. And Jesus says, gather up what's left. How many apostles were there? 12, right? Guess how many baskets were left over? 12. Coincidence? Or is there something in that that God says, you do my work, I'll take care of you. Don't worry. There's enough. You do my work, I promise you, you'll be provided for as well. But he goes on to say in this text some pretty interesting things regarding the bread. And he goes to indicate in chapter 6, verse 48, Jesus says, oh, by the way, I am the bread of life. Jesus says, I'm the stuff that life is based on. I'm the stuff that you need to live. I am the bread of life. This is pretty profound things for them to hear. For us, we're sort of desensitized to it. But for them to hear him make such a bold statement that I am the bread of life, it blew them away. In fact, he says some pretty interesting things in the text. But Jesus begins to lay out here that he is our life-giving bread. Let's read a little bit in the text. John chapter 6, 49 through 51. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. Referring to himself, he says, I'm the bread. He said, this is what I'm talking about. Your ancestors, they ate the bread that came down from the manna that God gave them, and they died. But the bread I'm talking about, that being me, the bread of life, you won't die. In fact, I'm the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Now Jesus is saying, I'm the bread. I'm the life-giving, sustaining bread. I need to be your daily portion. You eat this kind of bread, you might have a full belly for a little while, but it's not going to sustain you forever. It might meet your physical needs, but it will not meet your spiritual needs. And what we are spiritual beings. C.S. Lewis says, we are not a soul. We are not a body with a soul. We're a soul with a body. We are, in essence, a spiritual being. And so Jesus says that this is the sustaining thing. In fact, his statement in the model prayer is about God's blessings and God's sustaining grace. However, as we see in the text, some people don't want this kind of bread. Many people refuse it. In fact, when the Jews heard Jesus make the suggestion that his flesh would become the bread of life for them, they said, How can this man give his flesh to eat? They could not understand. They could not comprehend even where he was going with this. Then Jesus said to them, most surely I say to you, unless you eat this, the flesh of the Son of Man, and drink his blood, you will have no life in you. Whoever eats my flesh and drinks my blood has eternal life, and I'll raise him up in the last day. For my flesh is food indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. Indeed, he who eats my flesh and drinks my blood abides in me, and I'm him. Folks, that's what this is about, right? Every first of the week we come to do this. Why? Is it just ceremony? Or is it more than that? It's our sustaining force spiritually. Jesus, on the night of his betrayal, implemented the Lord's Supper. And we, as they did in the New Testament, we come together every first of the week to do it over and over and over again. Because Jesus says, this is life. The Jews could not hear this. They could not accept this. And John makes a really interesting statement in this text that even his disciples couldn't accept it. In fact, John will tell us that at this point, me and his disciples couldn't hear it. Jesus goes on in Matthew chapter 6. As the living Father sent me, and I became, and I live because of the Father, so he said, he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. So as we who have been buried into Christ in baptism have risen to a new life, this becomes our spiritual food. This becomes our sustaining force. This is what keeps us going spiritually. Our relationship with Jesus. Without Jesus, there is no spiritual life. No spiritual food to sustain us. That's it. Jesus says in John chapter 14, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but by me. He becomes our bread. He becomes our portion. He becomes the sustaining force by which we live spiritually. I alluded to this passage earlier. From that time, many of his disciples went back and walked with him no more. Then Jesus said to the 12, do you also want to go away? But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Also, we've come to believe and know that you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Remember what Jesus said? We read a few moments ago, Matthew chapter 4. When Satan tempted him to turn the stones to bread, what did Jesus say? Man shall not live by what, church? But by what? Every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So what does Peter say? You have the words of life. When Jesus asked them, are you too going to leave? All these other people are leaving because they can't hardly accept the fact that I'm the only way to God. Are you going to leave too? And Peter says, there's no other option but you. You alone. You alone are the bread of life. You alone have the words of God. You alone are the Christ. We have many occasions in Scripture where Peter messes up, but this time Peter is right. It's a confession. You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. So here we sit in 2017, the same dilemma. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God? And are you being sustained by Him, the living bread? Simple. If you put your faith and trust in Him, you've been buried with Him in baptism, and you're around the table, and you're commemorating all that He is, and these emblems, the bread and the fruit of the vine, and you're faithful to that, then I think you can be pretty confident and say, yeah, I know what my daily portion is. And I'm taking it in. Peter gets it. Jesus is our daily bread. He is the Word of God. That's John chapter 1. We must have Him in order to live. And as we sort of bring this to a close this morning, now what kind of bread do you want? It's a pretty good smelling bread. Looks good. Sure, it tastes good. But it's not going to keep me sustained. We have a lot of folks here. You're good folk. We have many that still haven't made a commitment to Jesus. Your life physically, but spiritually, you're in jeopardy. It's critical that you make the statement that Peter made, that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. It's critical that you make that. But you also need to have your sin problem dealt with by accessing the blood of Jesus to the waters of baptism. And then you need to come out of that waters of baptism being sustained fully by Jesus and His grace. That's what we studied this morning, our Bible study question. For grace has been saved through faith, isn't that right? And it's not nothing you've done. It's the gift of God. But you need to do that. Do it now. Do not depart here today, as Brother Carl prayed last Sunday. You know, don't leave here without taking care of things right before God. But what kind of bread do you want? This kind? You'll be hungry again. But spiritual bread will sustain you and fulfill you. A few moments, we'll surround this table and take of the bread and the fruit of the vine. And let each one of us sort of reflect upon the fact that this is our portion, this is our allotment, this is our daily need, and that's through Christ Jesus, and live lives that honor Him. Brother Jerry has chosen a song. He's going to sing it right now. And if you're subject, we'd love this morning to see you take in the bread of life. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song, just like it.